Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Babette. Welcome to What You Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me. It's so exciting.
I'm happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I live in LA, which to people who don't understand is Lower Alabama. I'm close to the coast, but not too close, so we don't have to evacuate in a hurricane. Mm-hmm. We have way too many animals, and we like it that way. So, in fact, there you may hear the dog walking around, his little toes on the wood floor. So I'm an animal communicator
So you were saying you're animal communicator. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So basically I have clients who, get in touch with me if they're having a problem with one of their animals. So anything behavioral or sometimes not just one, sometimes it's a whole slew of them. Mm-hmm. And I communicate with all the animals telepathically, find out what's going on. And we figure out the problem, and then we figure out a solution, and we get everybody to agree to the plan.
I love this. And so how do you get into it? Like, how do you get started?
As a kid, I was really close to animals, and I just naturally communicated with them. And my parents really discouraged me and just said, you know, hey, you're making stuff up. You don't know what you're talking about. You need to quit. And so I did. And then when I was in my 30s, and so late 30s, my kids were all in school. And I decided just to get a little fun job during the day. So I got a job at a pet store. And one of the animals said something to me that I could not deny. And it was it was just like every hair on my body stood up. It was so clear. And I thought, okay, this really is real.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got every book I could read about it, and there weren't that many back then. Mm-hmm. So, but I read every book I could get my hands on. I practiced. I found a teacher and mm-hmm. took every class that she offered and just practiced and practiced. So
I love this. Oh my gosh, yeah. I love this. And you're a Reiki master, you're involved in like, you know, some energy healing too.
I also do energy healing as part of the animal communication. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we'll find that animals are the symptom bearers.
Mm-hmm.
So in the family, if there is a problem of any sort, the animals will often start acting out. And so a lot of times when you start working with the animals, you realize, okay, this goes deeper. This is more than just them. And so then what we do, because you can try to fix the animal, you can do healing just for the animal, but you're not going to get a really complete success if the animal is not really the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. So then I do energy healing for the entire family, the entire multi-species family, humans and animals, and just to bring everything back into balance so that everybody's happy.
I love this. Yeah. I'm like, I've been involved in like the more intuitive energy healing world. Like
I practice hypnotherapy like on a regular basis, like I go into subconscious. So I'm always curious about like all these different types of healers and like how they come about, because it's like, it's unique, but it makes a big impact when you heal like the root cause of the issue, like not the symptom. A lot of times you just go to a doctor and fix the symptom, but the reality is like you gotta heal the root cause of it. You know, gotta go down into it and then exactly. So
Yeah, definitely. And it works. And, you know, it's pretty neat. I've dealt with animals who had severe separation anxiety and or just anxiety in general. And when you figure out what the problem is by talking to the animal and then you apply energy healing, you really can just affect a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And so you write romance too. So tell us your romance journey. Like, how did you get started? Like, did you read romance growing up? Like, how did this whole come about?
I know, it's crazy. So I have always been a huge reader. I've read romance all my life. And a little bit before I had my animal communication epiphany, my kids were all in school, and I had been a stay-at-home mom, and I really wanted to be available to my kids. So I thought, you know, I wanted to do something that I could still be able to pick them up after school. I didn't want to go back to, I had been a teacher. I didn't want to go back to that. And I had actually taught ballet for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to go back. I wanted to go forward. And I had read maybe three books in a row that I didn't love. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I can do better than this. And so I sat myself down and I wrote a book. I wrote a complete romance novel. And I thought, okay, this is it. This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go to a romance writers group, you know, RWA has chapters everywhere. And at the time I was living in Houston. And so I'm going to go to this thing. I'm going to find out how to get this book published. And, you know, they said, well, you know, you need to enter a contest. And so, okay, I entered a contest and I got back the sweetest, note from one of the contest judges, and I still remember it, and we are still friends to this day because she was so sweet. She said, "You did everything wrong, but I love your characters, and you have the voice of a writer. Now you just have to learn the craft." Mm-hmm. And that was, I mean, that set me on fire. I'm like, okay, now I have to learn the craft. And so that's what I did. I just worked for years to learn the craft. I wrote and rewrote and rewrote that book. I learned on that book, and then I wrote a few more and I learned on them. And so that's how I got started with that. And then by the time I had my animal communication epiphany, I was already really into writing romance. Mm-hmm. And so then I was doing both things. I was doing energy healing and animal communication, and I started getting clients because I would never have done it, but one of my friends who was an animal communicator said, because I met her at an energy healing class and we started talking, and then she tricked me into it. She said, I have booked a like basically a booth at a dog show and I can't go. Or, well, it wasn't a dog show. It was a dog event in a park. And she said, I can't go. I've already paid for the booth. I need you to go and do it. And I said, oh, I can't. And she said, well, you have to. And so I went and I did it, and it was fine. And I was able to communicate with every animal that they brought to me. There was only one that I got nothing, but these people brought this dog in, and he was looking everywhere but at me. He was looking at everything that was going on, and you know, it was a very busy venue. And I finally said, look, I'm not getting anything. I'm sorry. And they didn't have to pay me. So I handed him my card and said, you know, you can call me if you ever have a problem, but I just don't think he has anything to say right now. And they walked off, and they were about 50 feet away. And that dog looked back at me, and I got this like direct communication from him. Well, that was stupid. And then they walked off. So he just had no interest. But anyway, that was kind of a tangent. But anyhow, so my husband and a lot of people would tell me, okay, you can do one thing or the other. You can do animal communication, or you can be a romance writer. You can't do both. You need to pick. You need to choose something. And I said, no, I'm following my passion, and I'm passionate about both of these things. And I'm sorry, I'm going to continue to do both of these things. And, it wasn't that anybody wanted to rein me in or anything, but, you know, my husband wanted me to be successful at whatever I just decided to do. And he thought if I would just do one, I'd be more successful. But so anyway, I was at a writer's conference, and somebody suggested that I go and talk to Deb Worksman, my editor. I had already published my my animal communication how-to book, and I had already published a romance novel that actually won 2 Reader's Choice Awards. And I really wasn't interested in traditional publishing. But when he said that to me, my truth meter went off. Same as like I said, when that animal talked to me and I knew it was a real thing, I just, you know, I felt this cold wash of air and my hair stood up, and I just felt like, you know, this is a thing. This is something I need to do. And when I talked to them, I didn't get to talk to Deb the first time. I talked to another editor, and she, I pitched one of the books I'd already written, and she said, nope, what else you got? And because it was a reincarnation thing, and, you know, she said, that's not real big right now. What else you got? And so I just pitched off the top of my head, what about a romance with animal communication? And she said, yeah, I'm interested. Send me a proposal. And that was that.
I loved it. And so that's a good segue for Warm Nights in Magnolia Bay. So it's a romance with an animal communicator. So tell the elevator pitch of that romance. Like,
I am so bad at elevator pitches. I swear, you know, I can't do anything in less than 100,000 words. That's my biggest challenge. But so it is about a woman who comes to live with her animal communicator aunt on her farm after she has ruined her life. And she comes to live with her aunt, and her aunt lets her stay. And in fact, she puts her in charge of the whole farm while the aunt goes off to do a sabbatical. And while all this is going on, a new neighbor moves into the abandoned estate next door because he's going to fix it and flip it. Mm-hmm. And when he hears all the animals at the barn, he realizes he has made a terrible mistake because it's very noisy. And so he takes steps to remedy the situation, and then he regrets his decision when he meets Abby and gets to know her and the animals at the farm. And so all the animals there help these two get together despite their differences.
I loved it so much. I love the world animals meddling to the relationship, you know. They're like, you know, meddling aunties, as we would call it, you know, another type of bug. So
yeah. One of my fun scenes, that one thing I love about this book is that, you know, in most romances, you have the heroine's point of view, the hero's point of view. Mm-hmm. And in this one, you also have the animal's point of view. And so you see this relationship, this developing relationship through the animal's eyes. Mm-hmm. And some of what they do is on purpose to put the people together, like howling at night because they're mad at each other and they're not talking. And so the two, each person's dog, they're howling and keeping them up all night. But then some of it is just things that happen because things happen around animals, you know, it just does. They get in trouble, they do bad things. So
I love this. I love this. I feel like it's a unique spin. Like the way it was told for me, it was like you gotta read the story. Like it's just like it's unique enough, and like someone who has real life experience can tell you like this actually happens. So, like this is not like, you know, something made up. Like, you know, this is real, you know. So
yeah, it is. And a lot of the stories in the book are, you know, actually things that I've experienced with my animals. So, you know, they give me plenty of stories to tell.
I love this. And so what are you working next?
So the next book in the series is coming out in November. Mm-hmm. And I just finished the copy edits for that one. And that is Magnolia Bay Memories. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun one. The animal POV is a horse. So yeah. And then the one I'm working on now is the third book in the series. And currently the title is Coming Home to Magnolia Bay. And of course, you know, these can sometimes titles change. But so we'll see if they keep it. But I like the title. And in it, there's a woman whose son has seizures and needs a service dog, but can't afford one. And the hero is an animal trainer for the movie industry. And so that's just a little fun thing, how they get together.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so good. I love this. So tell us where we can find you online.
Oh, where? Okay. So the best thing to do is to go to my website. Mm-hmm. And it's babettedeong.com. So if you go there, if you just go to my website, everything else is on there. The, you know, links to social media, my newsletter, which is fun. You know, I tell a lot of animal communication stories on my newsletter. And also I'm doing on Instagram, Facebook every Monday. I do my Animal Connection Mondays, where I tell stories about, well, it's not stories, it's experiences about what's going on right now. It's really about the animals here because it's springtime and chicken politics. And, you know, I live on a farm. So in the spring, the chickens have to figure out their stuff all over again, you know. So I write about the animals on the farm and about our little conversations and trying to convince the roosters not to roost in the barn, stuff like that.
Oh my gosh, I love this so much. I can't wait to follow you on Facebook now. Now I'm like, okay, I need to know. This is interesting information. So
yeah, I mean, you need to know what these roosters have to say about life. And
oh my gosh, I love this. So thank you, Babette, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyourenextblog.com. The Watch Your Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.